That's wonderful. Thank you. And the choir sang and Paul sang. We're going to have a good day today. Thank you for coming. It's windy in places, but most places it isn't. Move around, get you a good seat. All right, we shall pray and then expound the Word of God. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come into your presence in the name of Christ Jesus, the one mediator between God and man. We can't come to you alone. We're not worthy. But we can come in his name. We can come through him who lived and died for us. We can come through the one who lived a sinless life and shed his blood on Calvary's cross, that we could be in the presence of you, not just for prayer, but for eternity. What a remarkable thing the gospel is. And thank you for those who are here this morning. We hope we will be able to touch hearts and lives, and they will understand who you are a little bit better than they did when they came. And if someone came without a Savior, just knew you as a name, may they leave with you as a born-again son of the living God, because they put their faith in you and trusted your word. As always, remove me from this place, if you would, that you be heard, that anything I say that should be forgotten, please make it be. And all that should be remembered, please have it be, that above all you be glorified, the church edified, and the man nearest hell be saved. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake, amen. We had a wonderful time the last couple of days. Went to Charlotte area. Mike Pencil and I and Jack went to the National Apologetics Conference. Apologetics is a big word that just means defender. We don't have nothing to apologize for. But we went and sat under some of the world's leading apologists, world's leading scholars of the scriptures and the defense thereof. It was a time well spent, and when they do it again, we'd hope more of you would know about it and go and enjoy that experience. And some Rabbi Zacharias, probably the most intelligent defender of the faith in the world today, was there. Lee Strobel, who wrote The Case for Faith, The Case for Christ, The Case for Creation, former atheist. Now he's been a minister for 20 years at Willow Creek, if you've heard for that, in Chicago. They probably reach, 30,000 people Sunday at their churches. And then Norm Geisler, who has written 58 books. It's unbelievable. Most people haven't read 58 books. It's just incredible to sit and listen to these people. Josh McDowell, I got Josh to sign my Bible, and I was glad for that, and I didn't look at it after he did it. He signs his name, then draws a false face in the J. Just what a personality. And he wrote Evidence That Demands a Verdict. If you don't have that book, you get it. It's the basic apologetic manual for the Christian family. It's wonderful. And I noticed this morning, I wanted to see where he had written, and he put Romans 1:16. I said, let me look and see what Josh's favorite scripture is, and I turned, and obviously, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And I would think out of 33,000 verses, that's pretty well what Josh McDowell would preach. But the problem in Christianity today is why we were there. It's we go to church, and like he said, you wonder how much people are learning and if they're learning. And if you're teaching, it's a two-edged sword. And we find out that most Christians don't know a whole lot about why they're Christians. And the lady behind us that he asked, I felt sorry for her, didn't you? She just said, I'm a Christian. Why do you? I just am. Well, how do you know? I just know. He said, well, a Muslim would tell you the same thing. Well, he's a Muslim. And she said, well, they're wrong. And she was right, but she couldn't give you a reason why they're wrong. And just because you think it doesn't make it so. And so that's what we try to teach you here, that you pick up enough from Sunday to Sunday that you will be able to defend your faith. And the problem, the devil brought it up. He's the man who, now we say man, he's the being who puts fear in you concerning spreading your faith and speaking up when sometimes you know you should or could, and helping people come into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. For that is the only thing God really asked us to do, was to go. And so we need to learn more about that. We need to have more of your Bible study. That's where we study the scriptures a little more in depth, and it's not a dry theological thing as you would think. We teach you what to say and how to say it, and how to be at ease, the crosses we give out. That's wonderful. That's a good start for you, to give out the cross and the cards. It's a good thing. People read those, and it leads some to come to church, asking your neighbor to come with you. And they won't all, but some will. And do whatever little thing you do, and you think it's a little thing, understand there is no little thing done in the name of Jesus Christ. That all of it together makes it work and gets it done. I see some beautiful cars out on the parking lot, Mercedes and Cadillacs and Lexus, and do you say Lexi? How do you do that, Sam? Lexus, it says, I don't know. And you see these, and many thousands of dollars in engineering and all that's gone into that for you to own that. And if I can just take out the coil wire, which probably is worth a dollar, you don't have a car anymore. It won't run. It won't crank. It'll just sit there. So it takes everything. And as we go, and be not ashamed of the gospel, and this morning we're going to preach from chapter 10 of the book of Luke. Luke was a medical doctor. Luke was the man used to write the most scripture. The Apostle Paul wrote the most books, but Luke wrote the most words, the Holy Spirit writing through him. And so we know, and we came to the apologetics seminar, and it was just a joy to see some of the brightest men walking the face of the earth speaking and defending the faith of Jesus Christ. This is not what the world thinks of some uneducated, and they get the job done at their level too. I'm not bashing them. I'm just saying the world's picture of a Bible-believing Christian is a wild-haired, wild-eyed man screaming and thumping and beating on the Bible and yelling, "You're going to hell." He might not like it, but he's right. But these were sophisticated, educated, erudite gentlemen, well-spoken, who go around the world debating the scientists and the atheists and the college professors, and they don't lose. They don't lose. They win. Because when all the chips are down, truth is on our side. And when we have truth on our side, it's just a matter of presenting it correctly for people to understand it. The problem is our educational system and the world in general takes non-truth and beats it into your head until you think it's the truth. Hitler was probably the best user of this method that's been in our lifetimes. He well knew people misquote it and say, tell a lie long enough and it becomes the truth. No, it stays a lie. But you tell a lie long enough and loud enough and it will be perceived as the truth. And the Humanist Manifesto, the people who put that together, said to the school teachers in the NEA, and not all of them are bad, they have to be there if they're going to work. He said, you are to be evangelists of humanism. He said, we are going to bury the rotting corpse of Christianity, and we'll do it through the classroom. They have the children, at best, 10% of the children, for 15 to 20 minutes on a Sunday morning. We have 100% of the children 5 hours a day, 5 days a week. There's no way that they can stand in front of the pressure that we can put on them. You see what we're up against. So this is why we do this. Chapter 10 of the book of Luke, we'll just expound as we go, is preparation for war. We are thankful for those who just came back for Iraq. I'm glad you went through training before you went, and you were armed when you went, and you knew the backup you had when you went. It wouldn't be pleasant to go just alone saying you guys are wrong and we're right. Let's talk about it. You wouldn't be coming home. You prepare before you go into a war. And the churches, we need to prepare. Where when somebody asks you, why are you a Christian? You know the answer. And why do you believe the scriptures, the word of God? You know the answers. And you can stand up and do that as well as you ladies when somebody says, how can you bake a cake? How do you know? You don't say, I just know. So my grandmother showed me. My mother showed me. I've done this all my life. I'm prepared to make the cake. I know what goes in it. I got a recipe, but I don't have to look at it. I know what goes in the cake. I know the temperature, but I don't have to look at it. I know the temperature. I don't have to set the bell to ring. I know when to take it out. I mean, she's ready to bake a cake. And you can take her recipe real quick and go in that kitchen and try it. You'll come out with a mess, just like I would. She's prepared. And whatever you do for a living, you prepared yourself that way for your job. Americans are bright and fast. We learned the first year we worked from somebody the shortest, quickest way to do it with the least amount of effort and to look busy all day while we're doing that. We learn how to do that, don't we? You see, we're fighting the devil and his angels. We're fighting the humanists. We're fighting the educational system. We're fighting Hollywood. We're the media. The big boys, and we're going in there, little David with a slingshot. So you better have a good rock, and you better have the right person behind the direction that that rock's going in. That's what apologetics is. That's what we do. It's not a new thing. 70 were sent. The Lord Jesus said, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, sent them two by two, before his face into every city and place whether he himself would come. He's appointed them to go ahead of time and start talking and telling about him. The Messiah is here. The kingdom's going to be offered. He'll be here soon. He's traveling in this area. And when he comes, they were preparing the way, you see. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. There are countries now that can grow enough food if they had enough people to harvest it and distribute it and refrigerate it, they wouldn't have hunger in their country, but they can't get it done. And food rots in the fields, and it does in our country. And when they have a balance, imbalance of economic power in some areas, I'm sure you've seen it on television in your lifetime. I've watched them kill 10,000 hogs and bury them in a big grave because they couldn't get the right price for them and couldn't raise them any longer because the farmer would lose money because the market didn't pay, yada, 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 and hungry people. And we can't figure out what to do about that. I've seen them destroy, shoot thousands of cattle and do the same thing. You've seen that. The dairy farmers pour hundreds of thousands of gallons of milk into the sewer system because they could, and it just gets imbalanced and all. And yet the big harvest is the harvest of souls for the Lord Jesus Christ because men are going to hell. And Jesus can't get enough laborers to just tell the story. There's something wrong with that, isn't that? When we come and sing, oh, how I love Jesus, but I ain't going. I'll give anything to the Savior except a little time. Don't be bothering me with that. I'm not getting on your case. I'm included in this. This gets me too. See? So he says we need to get prepared and we need to have an army. And isn't that what the Lord calls us? He's the captain of the army. And as usual, because of mankind's ability to help God out, they've turned that into, well, if he wants it done, he can do it. After all, we got two preachers now. We got a preacher and an assistant, and we only have 500,000 people in this area. Surely they can handle it. Don't think so. Don't think so. Every man, every woman who names the name of Christ is commissioned to do something to see the gospel spread. And you say, well, I'm not called to preach. Well, some of us are and some of us aren't. I know some that preach it weren't. Right? Mama sent, daddy paid for, now in the pulpit somewhere. Brother, got nothing to say to nobody that's listening. It's a joke. Okay? Then you pass the people we saw up there who are unapproachable in their knowledge and abilities. And I'm among them saying, isn't that wonderful? Rabbi Zacharias, just to be in his presence. He didn't have to say anything. When he stood up there, you just knew, didn't you, Jack? He could have waved and left. I'd have been about just as happy. Just to be in the man's presence, see. And then the others, and they touted them, which they should, and gave their credentials, which was wonderful. And then we went on a break to get a Coke and a pack of crackers or whatever, and passed by the tables where they were selling the literature and all, and that's wonderful. I bought some, and Mike got some, I'm sure Jack got some, and to help us learn more. And quietly among those tables, I looked, and there were a couple of missionaries to Africa and a couple of missionaries to Asia, and they just had there where they worked, hungry kids, starving kid pictures of them, and their literature that they were handing out in hopes people would pray for them and help them do what they do. No titles, no announcements, no heroics, no noise, no hey look at me. They just quietly stood there, and you could see them, and said, there go the heroes. There go the heroes. Not that the other isn't to be done, but that's the heroes who, for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, left their homes, left their families, left the conveniences, and went to a place they were not wanted nor accepted, and may be killed for the singular purpose of spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're the heroes. I made sure I stopped and talked to them. Bless their heart. So we're supposed to be prepared. It said he sent two by two. That was for protection. And they were to go, and please understand that they turned the world upside down with a simple gospel message that the Lord Jesus Christ came. It was God manifested in the flesh. And he came where he could live a sinless life, and that he could die voluntarily on a cross in payment for the sins of the world, and be buried and conquer death by bodily resurrection, ascend back to his Father, and promise to come again and set up a kingdom here that will last forever, and we can be part of it. That's the only message they had. Please understand, the printing press was a long way off, 1800 and something. Nobody knew what a radio was. TV hadn't been invented yet. No printed press, just person to person telling the story of a little baby who came in Bethlehem, why he came, who he is, what he did, and that he's coming back. How simple, how hard, how rough, what bad conditions. And they turned the world upside down. In 18 months, all of Asia Minor was reached by word of mouth. No printed page, no nothing. Isn't that amazing? So he said, look, the laborers are few. We need more laborers. That's me and that's you. And you say, well, I can't preach. It's all right. Well, I can't do the things these fellows do who come and do the building projects and all. And I can't even get down and set up a chair. What can I do? Well, if you got the money, that'll help. So all y'all do is ask for money. No, it ain't. I get indignant about that. Some people say, how much money is in that briefcase? I said, why you care? You didn't put a lot in there. What's it matter to you? And if you did and don't think it's going to the right place, please don't put any more in. Don't put any more in. Don't do that. And if you're having a hard time and your income is broken and your job is gone and all, don't put your last dollar in there hoping God will multiply it 100 times like they tell you on some TV programs. Don't you go near there unless you need some money. Then you ask me and I'll get it to you. It's not about money. You can't pay me anyhow. You came in here lost, dying, and headed for hell. And I took the free gospel freely and gave it to you. Now you on the way to heaven. You gonna try to pay me for that? You don't even know about that much money, let alone have it. And I wouldn't take the payment anyhow. It was given freely to me by Jesus. So we need more laborers. We need you. So, well, I can't do nothing. I thought of that yesterday, Mike and I, were in the parking lot of that huge church, 15,000 members, whatever it is. It's unbelievable. We're in the parking lot and saw a van lower the door. A ramp went down, and a little fella just crippled up. More, he was as crippled as any man I ever saw in my life. Mashed the button on his little wheelchair and up that ramp and turned around, headed to lunch. They were taking him to eat and bring him back, and he was going to be there. So what can he do? What can he do? He can pray, which is power more than nuclear armaments ever dreamed of having. And they gave that literature to buy stuff and have stuff and learn stuff as they should. No problem with that. But I was walking by in the sea of people. I said, boy, I don't know where I'm going, but we're making pretty good time. You couldn't go anywhere else. There they were carrying you. And one guy said, excuse me, and handed me a card with a little boy's picture on it. He said, will you pray for Mikey? And I said, well, sure, what's happening here? He said, just read the card, and little Mikey has brain tumors. And he was healed of them, and then they came back. And that was Mikey's daddy. And he had 1,000 or more printed color of his son. And just had a note on there, will you pray for Mikey? And he was there. Because he knew Christian people were going to be there. If you bother to go to an apologetics conference, it's not to find out what they're doing. He knew he was going to be there. And he said, these people know how to pray, and I'm going to get to somebody that's got some contacts here. God bless him. So what can he do? He can pray. So you're a laborer for the Lord, and whatever you can do in his name, he will honor that. I said, well, I don't do much. I said, H. Lee never taught Sunday school. H. Lee never went to church a lot. So being he didn't go, God sent a church to him, put it right in his building. Right. Right. And you don't need to get in my background. I won't get in yours, but I know about H. Lee's, and it wasn't every year he gave out 5 crosses a week. And I don't know anybody who knows him who ever expected him to. And I'm not getting on my brother, because people come down here from Greenville, South Carolina, and get speeding tickets going home. And guess what I saw? You ain't going to believe this. You ain't going to believe this. I scared so many of them so bad because they knew my past. Don't smile. Wasn't any worse than yours. But two of them drove from Greenville, South Carolina, all the way down here. It's 254 miles by the thumb. I don't know how far it is by the interstate, but I know from Greenville to Myrtle Beach Pavilion is 254 on the money. Okay, did it too many times. They drove 254 miles, came up to Ocean Drive, and parked where that brown car right there, you can see it. You can see that car. They were parked right there. That far to just see what I was up to and wouldn't come in. Isn't that something? They had heard, but they didn't want to get near that. It wasn't because I scared them. It was because they were thinking, any God that can do that to him might get me in the crosshairs of his rifle. And I don't want to go in there because I don't want that to happen to me. That was the fear. And that's why they stood right there. They came at the end of the service. I met them over there. Where you been? Well, we were outside. And I wanted to say, still an idiot, huh? Things hadn't changed much. Still stupid. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? So God needs what we do, whatever it is you do to help here. Let me thank you. See, this lady and I can't eat without you. We have no place to live without you. We have no car to drive without you. No clothes to wear without you. I've been in it a little longer than Ann. She says, don't make them that mad. They're going to quit. I said, no, they're not going to quit. They're not going to quit. They're not going to quit. See? Because you come in this place and you see lives changed. See? Lives changed. And I said, Brother Luke, I'll be one. He said, go your ways. These are the words of Jesus. Verse 3, go your ways. Behold, I send you as lambs among wolves. Now please understand, standing up for Jesus and being a Christian in a humanistic society where everybody you see on the street today generally will be against what you're doing, will call you names and think you're crazy, that those are the wolves and you the lamb. It's all right. Go ahead. Jesus says, okay, they got me too. I doubt that you'll be crucified for doing it. Maybe you will. I doubt that you'll be beaten. Maybe you will. I doubt that you'll spend a day and night in the ocean over it like Paul, but maybe you will. I doubt that you'll be like the two little Christian workers that they just arrested a Muslim for across the water for cutting their heads off with a sword simply because they were Christians. I doubt that'll happen to you. It may. But you have to take that chance if you're going to go with him. He's not looking for weaklings. You may be a weakling when he finds you. He'll make you strong. That's why David picked up 5 smooth stones when he faced Goliath. 5 little rocks. And the idiots, liberals will say, well, you must not have had that much confidence. There was only one Goliath. Once again, you fail to read the scriptures. He had 4 cousins, same size. David was saying, come on, sucker. Bring the family. I don't care. You have no idea the backing I got. No idea. So we're going to go as lambs among wolves. And we're going to kick the wolves right in the teeth. To carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way, meaning don't stop, get one-minded, decide what you're doing, this is what you're going to do. And whatever it is you do for Christ is your main job. The main job you think's your main job is just to enable you to have a place to live, clothes to wear, a car to drive, to do whatever it is you do for Christ once you become a Christian. Had he just saved you to go to heaven, he would have taken you immediately after you got saved. He didn't do that. He left you here to help. And you will. Not jumping on you. We're just rejoicing. And into whatever house you enter, and first say, peace be to this house. Peace. See, we're not here to force our way of thinking upon anybody. We're not here to hurt anybody and say, if you don't believe what we believe, we're going to kill you, as some religions do, who claim to be peaceful religions, by the way. And if you don't want to talk to us about your eternal destiny, no hard feelings, but go to hell. You chose it, not me. I was there trying to prevent it. Right? It's not my problem. Not my problem. It's your problem. I'm there to help. And I can't understand lost people. Isn't it strange that you and I are more interested in their eternal destiny than they are? See, they ought to be coming to us. Understand you're a preacher. Yeah, understand you know the Bible a lot. Understand, you know how to get somebody out of hell. I do. Well, if I'll come down there, will you tell me? They ought to be lined up. Yeah, we got to go get them. Isn't that song? Isn't that sad? It's funny how things work. See, my job is to tell you there's a crocodile in the pond. My sympathy for you stops at the water's edge. I'll tell you about it, but I ain't going with you. I'm not required to. You aren't either. So if people embarrass you or call you a nut or throw things at you or whatever you do, just say peace to you and go on. Smile and go on. You've done your job. And it was written down in heaven that you did it, by the way. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. In other things, things will go easy. You'll do some good. If not, it'll turn to you again. You don't have to leave your peace in that house. Take it with you. They'll be in the same mess they were when you leave. That's their problem, not yours. Fifth, in the same house remain, eating and drinking, eat such things as they give. For the labor's worthy of his hire. Don't go house to house worrying about that. He said, I'll take care of that. You just go ahead and I'll provide for you. Well, what you gonna give me? Shut up. Just go. I'll take care of it. God is smarter than me and you. I assume you figured that out. There's some people who don't think that. They think they're smarter than God. That they will choose and they will make the rules. And when he gave the Ten Commandments, they thought it was the Ten Suggestions. No, I'll make the rules. I'll take care of you. You do your part for me. I'll do my part for you. Don't worry about it. Unfortunately, it takes a long time to get there. He said, into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things that are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you, and tell them about Jesus, is what he's saying. Identify with the people, minister to the people, proclaim the kingdom of God. Don't worry about what people. Well, I'm not going to him because he doesn't wear the same kind of clothes I wear, so I don't want to talk to those kind of people. I'm not going over there. Those people are, you know, they're a little below me. Are they? Don't worry about it. You just go. Your job, my job is to go. God never said ask them if they like it. He said to go. He said just trust me. I'll handle it. He said good news. But into whatsoever city you go, he said, look, if they don't like you, dust the dust of their streets, just dust them off your shoes and walk on. He's saying, don't stay there and beg and beg and beg and beg somebody to go to heaven if they intend to go to hell. My dad's whole life was 1 John 3:16. lay down your life for the brethren. Seen him go preach, settle a church split, get them all back together. And he didn't go for money, but for heaven's sake, they could have paid for the gas. Man studied the scriptures 50 years, know it as well as any man I ever met. Go and preach, and somebody at the door would say, thank you for your little talk. If that's all you got to say, don't say anything, okay? Just grin. You didn't even know what he was talking about. And you see this happening. I saw him one day. A fellow came and said, preacher Greenway, now I want you to go and talk to my brother down in Woodruff. It's about 30 miles from Greenville. And he's lost, and we need to go down there. And I want you to go down there and talk to him, if you will. He said, didn't we already do that? He said, yes. But I thought maybe you'd go again. He said, no, I won't. There's people out here hadn't heard it the first time. Your brother heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was explained that he was a sinner, as we all are, that there's one way to go to heaven, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not something you do, something you earn, something you buy, something you work for, not your church attendance, not your sacraments, not the money that you give, not the study that you do. There is one way to heaven, and that is by the grace of God through faith in what his son did on Calvary's cross, and that's the only way. Isn't that a little intolerant? Bet your butt it's intolerant. We got the way, the truth, the light. Not one of them, not part of them, not a partial one, and there'll never be another one. Don't ever forget it. I used to hear old Dr. Bob preach. He's, bless his heart, with the Lord now, of course. He used to tell those students, right is right, wrong is wrong. Right will never be wrong, and wrong will never be right. Don't ever forget it. So that's a short sermon. Wasn't it good? Well, people will call me, do you do marriage counseling? I said, oh, yeah. I'd like to make an appointment. We won't need one. Oh, why? Can we just come over? No, I don't want to see you. Just listen real close. Do what's right. Have a good day. Marriage counseling's over. Just do what's right. You don't have any problem. We will never need another policeman, Brother Ed. Would you be out of work, you and your good folks on the force, if people would just do what's right? Why would you need a policeman? Why would you need a lawyer? Why would you need a courtroom? If you just do what's right. It's so simple, the whole world stumbles over it. It's like that 800-pound gorilla. You see him in the ad. I love that ad on TV. Man and wife in the bed, and the 800-pound gorilla sitting at the bedside. He said, don't mind me. Don't mind you. It's an 800-pound gorilla sitting beside the bed. He's reminding them you need a little insurance for your family because, you know, for all the reasons, wonderful ad. But don't mind me. No, don't mind me. Now, we are going to just do what's right, huh? We're going to tell other people they need to do what's right. Well, what's right? It's to quit living like hell and get on the road to heaven and you'll be there. That's all. Right's right, wrong, wrong. If you're doing what's wrong, start doing what's right. That's all. It isn't hard. Well, I might not like that. Nobody asked you whether you liked it or not. That's the answer of a three-year-old kid. Don't put your hand on the stove, honey. Why? They don't know. But when you know, don't put your hand on the stove. And you know whether you're doing right or wrong or not, don't you? Stop it, shall we pray? I mean, you know, it's over, isn't it? It's over, isn't it? And we're going to do that, and then we're going to tell other people how. Isn't that good? I had a friend hooked on cocaine. His son was. Son had a lot of money, and the family's well off. And they heard about a guy that's getting real good results in California with cocaine addicts. And so they take the money, and he and his wife and his son, they fly to California, and you know what kind of money that got. And this guy wants $10,000 before you get there. He got his money. And they went, and it's time for their apartment. He came. Big bald-headed guy with an earring, looked like Mr. Clean. Secretary brought them in, told who they were, and he said, good to meet everybody. Which one of you's got the problem? And the young man said, well, it's me. He said, what is your problem, cocaine? He said, yeah. He said, do you really want to quit? He said, yeah. He said, then quit. You folks have a good day. Well, I thought, no, he gave you the answer. Quit! People like you out in the audience, like me, will look in a mirror and say, I wonder why I'm fat. Won't you? You guilty? Because you stuffed food down your throat like I did. That's why you fat. And if you don't want to be fat, quit stuffing food down your throat. That's a little hard, isn't it? It's hard for me. I love food. But I do know the answer. I do know the answer. Stop it. No, something. And we're appointed and commissioned to go tell people stop it. Not to get on their case, just to say you do what you do because you're in pain. You do what you do because you're looking for happiness is what you do. That's why you do all the things you do out here is because you're looking for happiness. Country singer got it right. You're looking for love in all the wrong places. And if you want to relieve that pain, go to the head of the pain relief department, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he forgives all sin. I don't care what it was. He forgives it. You see, the blood of Christ paid for all sin, for all time, for all people in all situations, or for no people, no sin, no time in any situation. You understand that? This isn't a leave, and if this don't work, we'll try penicillin. If that don't do it, this isn't what this is. This is total answer for man's sin, which is what caused all the pain there's ever been. And faith in him for his payment made for you relieves you of that burden. I have Christians all the time want to go deep sea fishing and tell me, well, this is what I used to do. And I used to, I don't hear that. If you accepted the Lord, he told you in that book, he took your sins and put them in that sea. Never be brought up again. Quit deep sea fishing. They're gone. It's over. You're forgiven. Greatest word in the English language. Go to any jail and say, you, whoever you are, whatever you did, you're forgiven. See if he understands it. See if he understands the word. Yay, I'm forgiven. He won't say, but I did so and so. I'm forgiven. He ain't going to stand there and run the list. He's forgiven. He's out. He's free. That's you. That's me. That's anybody. Great pain relief, the blood of Jesus Christ. You understand why they call that ointment they put on you salve? You know where the word comes from? Salvation, exactly right. Total relief, put the salve on. That's what we do. Southeastern distributor for a salve called the blood of Jesus. Phew. those who have the watered down gospel and the folks who don't know the importance of this by the wayside with them. Watered down gospel produces watered down Christians, which produces watered down service, which produces no multiplication of go ye into all the world. That's what it produces. So somebody has got to deliver it like it is. And Jesus said, I will. Nail me to a cross. Beat my back. And then, Father, take every sin ever committed or will be and put it on my shoulders. And I know this will cause a separation between me and you, which has never happened before. You can't look on sin. But I'll go and pay that price simply because I love them. He said, what a God. What a Savior. And what a good group of folks who will pass out a cross, show up at 7 o'clock to put the chairs in, let us use their business for 7 years, regardless of the other people who laugh at them for doing so. What a good group of people that have a Savior who'll say, I might can't do much and I might can do a lot, but whatever I can do, I will do to get the gospel of Jesus Christ to people who are suffering and in pain. Thank you for doing your part. Ann will leave me messages. You got some calls on the telephone answering thing. If you can work it, I'll go in, try to listen to that. And every now and then, she'll just leave a note. So-and-so, you have a wedding or a funeral, whatever it is, same thing. She'll tell me the time to be there. And I'll show up and do what I do. And can't get along without her help. And I was thinking this morning, after hearing those people who really know what they're doing, I said, what if I read this note? And it's for you too. Dear child of God, you've been selected to represent the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, at North Myrtle Beach Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Don't let the fact that he's watching, listening, and will be there bother you. Don't let the power of his glory and the fact that he created the universe intimidate you. He's really quite nice and will be forgiving if you mess up. There will be people listening whose eternal destiny will be in your hands. Don't let this make you nervous. The enemy may also drop by to disrupt in any way he can. But don't worry. We've got you covered for him, Gabriel. And I'll get Miss Ann to put that in a scroll-like thing on the computer, and we'll send one to those people that we heard speak and let them know we're not as good, and we're not as smart, and we'll never have the acclaim, but we understand exactly what we are there for, and don't you forget it. And if you hear this morning without a Savior, please understand that's because of you, not him. He wants to be your Savior. And had you been the only one who ever sinned, any sin, large or small, whatever, he would have still come. he would have still lived a sinless life. He would have still died. He would have still been buried. He would have still arose 3 days later. He would still have ascended to his Father and still come again to take you, a single individual, before his Father and the angels and say, look what I did. He was lost and now he's found. Aren't you proud of me? And his Father will say to him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. As he will say to you and to me, once we really get the message that you have been selected to represent the Lord Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, in the community in which I've sent you. Don't worry. We've got you covered. And 10,000 angels have got you back. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, come to you in the name of the crucified one, he who is, was, and ever shall be. The precious name of Jesus. That we can just say thank you once again. Don't have the words of the poet, and I don't have the speech of the orator, and I don't have anything I can offer except to thank you that you cared enough to save me. Thank you to be one here, be one visiting, if there be one on the radio, on the World Wide Web, whatever, who hears on the CDs or whatever and doesn't know you as personal Lord and Savior, may they change that today. May they say, I'm a sinner and I didn't know he could forgive my sin. Yes, he can. Well, I thought I was too old and had gone too far. No. He's from eternity past and eternity future. He'll be there for you. Well, do you really think? It's not a matter of thinking, it's a matter of believing. And I know, without a shadow of a doubt, that God changes lives, situations, heals, and saves. And if there be one here today who doesn't know you in that way, Lord, may today, between you and them where they sit, they just say, Lord Jesus, I have a problem. You know what it is. I have a situation. You know what it is. I'm a sinner, Lord, and he already knows that. You're not coming with any bulletin. But, Lord Jesus, by faith, I just ask you to forgive me. I do believe you're the Son of the living God. I do believe you died on Calvary's cross. I do believe you shed your blood that sin can be forgiven. I do believe that you died for me, and I want in the family. I need a Savior, and I truly believe it's you. Will you save me today? And I promise you, under the authority of Scripture, written by the Holy Ghost, that he will do his part. All you have to do is be willing. I pray that you will do this. Thank you, Savior. In Christ Jesus' name I pray. And for his sake, amen.